Amen. Praise the Lord. If you can kneel, we will start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for blessing us on the Sabbath day with your presence. Thank you for being with us last night as well when we gathered for study. Please bless us all with forgiveness, the cleansing from unrighteousness, and the latter rain if we are so worthy. Please bridle our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears, and our tongues, so that the character of Christ comes forth, and we have the ability to share our faith without even saying a word, for they shall see Christ in us. But thank you also for the opportunity to share the truth as it is written in your word, and for bringing all things to our remembrance whatsoever you have said unto us. Please bless all those on our prayer list, especially those that are lost, and those especially that we mentioned last night in the text chat. And thank you for changing the showbread today and blessing us with what we need to get that much closer to Christ. And we offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our King, our Savior, and our Lord. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. I just noticed my clock. Let me get the mic where it needs to be. I just noticed that my clock is running a little fast, which means I got to change the battery. Isn't that weird? Your clock speeds up when the battery is going dead. Go figure. Anyway, I want to welcome Donnie, Jeff, and Roberta, and Lorraine for visiting us today. And everybody else, of course. Have a blessings to all those on the radio and on the phone. We are still in lesson number 28. We are on question number 25. If you want to follow along with the questions, they're underneath the chat room there. Okay, question number 25 is, what did Jesus say the church would do and then the end would come? And this particular study, lesson number 28, is all about God's special people. And we're on, like I said, number 25. I wonder how many are in here. And there's only 26 questions in this study, so we might even end it today. Who knows? All right, and the answer is found in Matthew 24:14. Thank you again, Brother Gorin. And the verse is, and it says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Well, never before in the history of mankind have we seen this prophetic statement more fulfilled than it is now. But let me ask you this, and this may seem odd, but have you ever searched for a pair of glasses all over your home only to find them on the end of your nose? Like I've shared so many times before, I watched my mom do that one time when I was a little boy. And she was confused as to why all the kids were laughing when she was serious about asking us where her glasses were. She kept on yelling at us and saying, where are my glasses? Did you hide them? She can't find them, right? And we're all just laughing away, because they were on the top of her head. She didn't realize it. Or how many times have you ransacked a desk or a closet only to find the item right before your eyes the whole time? This prophecy is a lot like that. This prophecy about the gospel being preached throughout the entire world, and then the end shall come. And what I mean is, this prophecy is actually being fulfilled right before everyone's eyes, and most people miss it. They have no clue it's actually happening. You know, the thing I like most about this prophecy is that the promise is made that every nation will at one time hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's amazing news to me, especially since there are some nations out there that you would think, how are they ever going to get, you know, the truth? But the Lord sent them there. Like last night, we just, and this literally shocked me because I didn't expect this. I mean, I know we're in every nation, which blesses my heart when I think about it, because Google censors us, as do other search engines and stuff like that, because of the message we preach. YouTube censors my videos, and you got to use proxy servers if you're in different countries other than the U.S. to actually watch them, especially China. But yet, there are people in every single nation on earth that visit the website every day. And that's one thing. Okay, fine. That's great. We've known that for years. But I just found out the other day, and I shared it last night, that I got a letter from someone in a prison in South Africa that wanted some information about the truth as we understand it, because someone in the prison handed him some of our literature. And I'm thinking, how did that happen? I mean, I know we have people in South Africa hitting the streets. I mean, we have them out there, but I didn't know they were going into the prisons or actually in prisons. Like, we got a guy that used to be part of our church family years ago that was sentenced to some years on the West Coast, and so he's in prison, and he's been doing some work. His name is Dennis, for those of you that know him. Keep him in your prayers, of course. And it just amazes me how, like, even the Vatican itself doesn't have every nation on earth under their thumb, hence the reason for all those wars that are going on right now. This is just the internet, too, because the fact of the matter is there is no internet in these prisons. That's what blessed my heart. Because I've known for years the Lord has revealed to us that we have to get the message out there. And so this is one of the reasons we started the newsletter, is so as to have it all set up and ready to go, so that when they eventually do kick us off the internet, we will be able to send out the newsletter. You know, we'll have thousands of people getting the newsletter anyway, so the message will still go out. We actually have, let me just check real quick here, because we haven't set it up yet to send newsletters to foreign nations, because I don't know how that's all going to work out. We'd have to have someone special just to work on that alone, because it's not going to be just sticking a stamp on each one like you do in the U.S. You're going to have all sorts of different costs. And so right now we have, for 357 more families that signed up for the newsletter, but they're in different nations. And so we can't really send them. Because, again, it's just not, I mean, where do you start? But my point in all this is, and as well as the point that we see in prophecy, or even like David running towards Goliath, they can flex their muscles all they like. They can even make Christianity illegal in every nation on earth, like they did here in America. And for those of you that live in America that just had your eyebrows jump up and say, what are you, nuts? They didn't make it illegal here. Really? Go on a street corner and talk to a homosexual about Jesus Christ and see what happens. That homosexual can literally have you thrown behind bars now. They've been doing that for years in Canada. In Canada, you can go behind bars and get a $5,000 fine for sharing Bible verses about homosexuality. But you can share Bible verses about drunkards, you know, all sorts of other things. But if it's about homosexuality, oh, it's protected, even from God for some reason. But that, too, was prophesied. But, yeah, here, every nation, just about every nation, does the homosexual thing now. Not all of them. But here in America, yeah. I mean, they've even shut down businesses and sent them massive tens of thousands of dollars worth of fines for refusing to bake a cake that said something pro-homosexual on the cake. Again, they can flex their muscles all they want, and they can make Christianity illegal all they want. Just like during the Inquisitions, they could kill Christians on, you know, 400,000 a year. It still ain't going to stop the Christians from going forth. It's always been going forth, and the truth will still go corner to corner all around the world, no matter how hard they try, because the God of the Bible declared it as such, and as powerful as man may think he is, he's nothing compared to the God that made him. Still, even though mankind hates their own creator, what an act of love is that? That he still does all he can to reach them. In fact, this very God is right now holding back the seven last plagues just to make sure his children hear the gospel truth with the hopes of accepting it before the end actually comes. Hold on, let me turn on this fan. Okay. You know, I found a quote years ago that I found describes well what's actually happening the last few decades that makes my point nicely here. I actually shared this quote in my book, People Get Ready. It says the following. It says, and this is written by Kenneth Scott Latourette, in the book, I guess it was an article called The Christian Outlook, and it was found in, published in New York in Harper and Brothers in 1948 in pages 200 and 201, but it's only one paragraph, so it must have been straddling two pages. But he says this, he goes, as never before, it is possible to acquaint men, the world around, with the gospel. The many means of communication, the radio, the airplane, added to the seemingly more prosaic contributions of earlier days. The printed page, the railway, the steamship, and the automobile makes physically feasible the reaching of all men. Christian communities in almost every land and among almost every tribe and nation provide, as never before, nuclei for the spread of the faith. Disintegration of culture carries with it, in many lands, the lessening of resistance to the gospel. Now, again, yeah, this is 1948. Now the gospel is being, in other words, it's getting so powerful. The truth is going so far and wide that they're doing everything they can to try to stop it. And so this is why you see the Muslims carrying the Christians and stuff like that. And this is why, if you saw my article that I posted yesterday, and yes, I purposely posted that on a Friday, even though I probably wrote it sometime earlier this week. But because I like to let it hang for the weekend, because every time the Christian truth starts to go forward with more power, they somehow declare God is dead. That's because they can't handle the fact that they're losing the battle. But still, 1948 is when this guy wrote this. And keep in mind, I mean, the possibilities of worldwide evangelism were indeed a basic fact back then, yeah, but jumping ahead 68 years later to 2016, we see what was once considered a mighty task, yet possible nonetheless, is now performed with such ease and finality that it boggles the mind. Yes, we still have all the means we had in 48, to spread the gospel, but now we also have satellites transmitting the gospel to billions of television sets or computers or tablets and cell phones each and every day from one side of the planet to the other. Because the Christians are out there. There's even Christian apps in Android and iPhone, even though the iPhone, the people that work at Macintosh or Apple do like to delete Christian apps, even though they had, I can't remember the exact totals, but it was an amazing amount of people were protesting about them removing, threatening to remove two programs, apps. One of them was a Christian app and the other one was a homosexual app. The Christian app had tons more people saying, please keep this app. And the homosexual app had next to none. But yet they kept the homosexual app and dumped the Christian one. And still, they could do that all they want. They could flex all they want. It's not going to stop it. We also have radio waves now that carry the messages of Jesus worldwide, instantly, with more density than ever before in the history of radio, because just about everyone has access to it now. And I found this out pretty interesting a few years ago. That, especially here in America, we think we're all that, and we think that AM and FM is it. But did you know that shortwave radio is more popular by far globally than AM and FM? What is it with America? we're the only ones. Everybody else uses the metric system. We're using what we use. Everybody else uses shortwave. We're using AM and FM. And I think there's a reason for that, because the mark's going to be enforced in this nation first, and so it's a little easier to sew things up in our nation the way things are, especially when it comes to AM and FM. But still, you got the internet. The Bible itself has been on the number one bestseller list for as long as they have kept track of the sales of books. And this is kind of what irks me about places like, what is the name of that bookstore in Lafayette? Is it Borders? I can't remember. They got these bookstores all over the place. And like a lot of times if I go to Best Buy and I have to wander around and look for peripherals or whatever, Fran will go over to the bookstore because she doesn't, you know, Barnes & Noble's, thanks. I think that might be the one that's in Lafayette, too. But Fran will go to the bookstore. And I like going to the bookstore, too, you know, but, and so when I finally make it over there, I might wander around there for a little while, too. But what ticked me off is, this happened many years ago. It had to have been 5 or maybe even 10 years ago. Right when you walk into any bookstore, especially when we lived up near Chicago, you would have this big poster right when you walked in. It was kind of like you would see in a theater, you know, where you have the big, poster that tells you what the movie's about or something. I don't know. Right there when you walk in was, you can't miss it. It's right. You got to walk around it. It's right there in your path as you're walking in. And it would have the top 10 books. But since 5 or 10 years ago, it's actually deceptive. It's the top 11 books, but they're only showing 10 because the Bible's still number one. And somebody got embarrassed or somebody got ticked off about having the Bible there. And so they removed it. Because think about it. I remember when I was a baby Christian. And I walked into the bookstore and I says, well, this doesn't make sense. The top, and no one seems to catch this. And I talked kind of loud because I do that on purpose when I'm in public to hopefully grab an audience. But they, I says, no, look at that. You got the top 10 list. The Bible's on top and underneath it, you got, Stephen King's Carrie or Stephen King's this horror movie or this, you know, movie about, you know, it's all X-rated stuff and R-rated stuff, all, you know, and the Bible's right there on top still. Showing that the devil's losing there, too. It's just, but even there, they remove it, and it still's not going to stop that Bible from going forth. Plus, we got preachers from all walks of life that are preaching the gospel from the darkest regions of Africa all the way to those lofty Alps of Switzerland. And then Christian, you know, all over the world have all along been sharing the good news to their family, friends, coworkers, and strangers at work or even at play. I mean, these same Christians have been handing out tracts, booklets, pocket Bibles, and commentaries, and even printed sermons and newsletters that we have, as well as some of the tracts and stuff that we have. We have almost 900 people doing that, and we've never asked a single person to do it. They also pass out Bible studies and the old-fashioned cassette tapes in some of the, you know, third world countries, and of course, DVDs, CDs, and USB drives as well. But now, thanks to the internet, the gospel message is being broadcast by websites or even flash animations and inside chat rooms and private messaging, as well as email and social media. And then you got all the videos. So the list is truly endless of all the methods the Lord is using right now to fulfill that prophecy. But most people miss it. He said, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You know, as for all those nations that would not allow Christians within their borders to preach, this too is an awesome fulfillment of this prophecy. With the destruction of the Iron Curtain decades ago, we now see hundreds and thousands of Christians sharing Jesus with everyone they meet in this once barricaded country. I remember when it went down, when Reagan and the Pope were getting together on that thing. Since the fall of the Soviet Union, Russia is also allowing many Christians within its borders to spread the gospel from one city to the next. And this is also why you see the Pope flexing his muscles in Russia now, causing problems for the Christian church and persecuting them. Because now it's legal to be Catholic, but don't be doing nothing else, like in China. It's okay to be Christian as long as it's the government's version of it. And if you go outside of that, they will kill you in China. And recently, Putin even made it a crime to evangelize in Russia. But the prophecy is sure. I did a news blurb about that where he literally made it illegal to evangelize even someone on the, like even if someone comes up to you and asks you a question on the street and you answer them, that person could be a plant from the government and all of a sudden you're behind bars just from sharing Jesus Christ. And again, he could flex his power all he likes. The Lord said every nation is going to hear the gospel truth, and therefore every nation is going to hear the gospel truth. But just a few decades ago, this was an absolute impossibility. This happened in our generation. I can also see how in Russia, since they made it a crime to share the truth on the streets, you know, what's stopping the people from doing so online. You know, they can't stop that, especially if you use a proxy IP address. Sure, they may not be able to say Jesus is Lord on the street corner, but if both people step into their homes, turn on their computers, and log into a chat with their neighbors, how's Putin going to stop that? Remember the catacombs, if you did any research in history? They made it illegal to talk about Christ Jesus right before Rome fell too. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the leaders of the church tried to stop the apostles from preaching about Jesus as well. We all know what it says in Acts 5:29 when Peter waxed bold and says, look, we ought to obey God rather than men. And of course, they got whipped and beaten and all this other stuff for doing it, but they still did it. The basic reality is this. There are still some nations that do not allow Christ mentioned in their borders. And some new ones have started doing that too, like Russia. I mean, take Pakistan or India or China, for example. Those are some of the... Well, China's been doing it for a while, as have Pakistan and India, but they've kind of like kicked it up a notch recently, Pakistan and India, to where it's getting kind of scary for the Christians, but we don't have any fear. If the Lord would have us take a nap before he gets here, that's fine. We don't fear those who can kill the body. We fear he who can destroy the body and soul in hellfire. So yes, there are many missionaries in these countries, regardless of what the governments say. They can say what they want. It doesn't matter. It's just like when John F. Kennedy, first Roman Catholic president, outlawed prayer in schools. I had a chuckle when I was a kid. I says, like, if I'm going to a test and I put my head down, how are they going to stop me from talking to you, Father? It was laughable. But they did that so the teachers would enforce it, or try to, or make it difficult for the Christians, so as to start and cultivate the mindset that Christianity is something that only a third-class type citizen deals with. And so by now, today, in our day, 50 years later, we're dealing with, well, 60 years later, we're dealing with, you know, not 50 years later, but we're dealing with all sorts of, you know, hatred towards Christianity just because it's Christianity. But yet, for some reason, the bloodiest religions out there, like Catholicism and Islam, no one seems to have a problem with. And they're protected by the state. And people miss that too. But even though we add together all those things that the Lord has done, you know, with the books, the DVDs, the videos, whatever. With the internet being invented, and as I mentioned a moment ago, people in those countries that can have complete and utter access to the gospel message within their very own homes. Yes, I am very aware of the Great Firewall of China. That even in use, that is like some of the routers. My favorite router is a D-Link router. And if I turn on parental access or parental features, it accesses the Great Firewall of China. Well, that's what I call it, but it's actually just a firewall that China created to prevent Christians from speaking to the people in their nation. My website's considered a terrorist website in China. And on D-Link routers, it's considered unsafe. And if you put on parental controls on YouTube, some of my videos come up as being inappropriate. But I'm a preacher. How is that possible? Well, they make the rules. And I'm not kidding. Go to my YouTube page, turn on parental controls, and try to see some of my videos. You'll see some of them are missing. Or some of them, when you do click them, they'll say inappropriate. Warning, warning, you know. But still, with a flick of a switch, or even just a small bit of code, that firewall falls as easy as a house of cards. Has everyone that is supposed to hear the gospel heard it? Has the good news been preached to all the nations? I don't know, nor is it possible for any man to know, for the scripture is plain. But of that day and the hour, no man knoweth. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Jesus said that in Matthew 24:36. However, Jesus did say in Matthew 24:33, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. And so it is. I hope and pray that you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.